The title, what we're talking about right now is, what is truth? We started talking about that, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I don't remember. What is truth? And every minute of every day, we are either believing and thinking on a truth or a lie. If we're thinking on a truth, Jesus said, John 8:32, the truth will set you free. But when we're believing a lie, the lie is going to bound us up. Okay? Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. So I'm going to give you some verses. I'm not going to preach on them. I'm just giving them to you. So if you want to write them down, this is going to help you. Things that they were just talking about. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Talks about bringing your thoughts into captivity, but you bring them unto the obedience of Christ. Okay? You bring your thoughts. Picture, have you ever seen a cartoon and they have the little circle above the person's head and they have the words up there of what they're saying or thinking? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Picture you're a cartoon character and your thoughts are above your head in a little balloon. Okay, with a little boop, boop, boop coming toward you. You know what I mean? Or the, you know what I'm talking about. So you have these thoughts in your mind. You're mad at yourself. You can't forgive yourself. You're mad at somebody else. Why are they throwing pieces of paper and hit me in the back of the head? Whatever it is. And you just stop and you just say, Jesus, I'm going to bring all my thoughts, capture that whole balloon of thoughts. I'm going to capture all my thoughts, and I'm going to bring them and give them to you. I want to come under the obedience of Christ. I'm bringing all these thoughts under your obedience. They're subject. They're submissive. These thoughts are submissive to you. Now, Jesus, what do you want me to think on? What do you think? Somebody just go ahead and get excited like you're just going to say amen. I'm just going to live Jesus. That's what we want to do, right? Father, we're just right now wanting to bring all our thoughts into captivity. And Jesus, we want to bring them unto your obedience. Bring them under obedience unto you. Now, Jesus, what would you like us to think about? Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our understanding. Because we want to see and live you, Jesus. We don't want no devil living inside of us. Thank you, Jesus, that you're bigger than the boogeyman. Amen. All right. Now, you ready? So, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. John 15, 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, we're just simply open and honest. Admit it. I got sin. I'm mad at somebody. I can't quit feeling this. I can't quit thinking this. But I'm admitting it, and I don't want it, and I'm bringing it to you, Jesus. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. He said, that's what I died for, was that sin. And now I'm going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm going to clean you up. He said, you're my job. He said, I'm better than Mr. Clean. I'm going to clean you up. John 15:3. Okay? And 1 John 1:9. Okay? And where was that other one that he talked about? Or what was that other one you brought to my mind earlier? Now, let me give you a couple of other verses to write down just to think about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Talks about the things we ought to think on. Things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. When we think on things we shouldn't think on, they take us places we don't like going. Want no bad devil's going to kick them out. I only want Jesus living in me. I only want to think thoughts that bless Jesus. I only want to think thoughts that He can bless me with. Okay? Where were we? Philippians 4:8. How about Philippians chapter 2, verse 5? Let this mind, allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the same mind as Jesus. Think on what He thinks on. Light, love, peace, joy, goodness, righteousness, others, not self. I think I'm going to get excited living this life of Jesus. All right. Now, here we go. Let's look at... I'm gonna just read Proverbs 23:7. I'm gonna read from Proverbs 23:7, John 18:33-38, and Philippians chapter 4 verses 6-8. Now you need to go, because I'm not gonna give you the whole verse. I'm just giving you part of it that he wants me to point out. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think, you become. We're going to talk about that. Number two, Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. The man that had power to crucify Jesus, Pilate, Pontius Pilate, he was the governor. He was like, you know, the governor of that state, let's say. He said to Jesus, what is truth? Jesus had said publicly, I am the truth. Remember, we were singing the song, I am holding on to you. Jesus holding on to you. I am. He's not I was. He was, but he's I am. He's a right now God. Right now for what you need. Right now he loves you. Right now he's not giving up on you. Right now he's drawing you. Right now he's touching you. He's I am, not I was. Okay? I'm getting excited here. And Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. He wants us to know what the truth is. Because when you're in the truth, you're in Jesus. When you're not in the truth, you're not in Jesus. But we all live truth and lies. We all live truth and lies. You tired of living a lie? You tired of being brought down, overcome, giving up, depressed, despair, down on yourself, beating yourself up, all that. You're tired of that? Well, then we got to come into truth. Because Jesus doesn't give up on us. Jesus isn't depressed. Jesus isn't going, Leida's never going to change. He's like, I'm going to just keep believing in you until you do. I'm going to keep on loving you. He said, don't you know I love you? Don't you know what I have for you? It's so much bigger. He doesn't give up on us. We give up on ourselves. Watch this. Others around us give up on us. I love my wife's mom, my mother-in-law. Her name is Bernice. She is in heaven. I love her. But she used to say to my wife when she was growing up, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So my wife grew up beating herself up, saying, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? You can't go around doing that. Every one of us is a sinner. What we need is Jesus. What's right with Jesus? That's what I want. I'm going to become what I focus on. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, I can't hardly wait. I was about to bust. I couldn't wait to hear me preach this morning. Okay. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm excited because God was preaching this stuff to me. I'm looking forward to coming out or getting in to come out, you know. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. What are the things we should be thinking on? What are the things we should be thinking on? What are you thinking on? What are the things we should be thinking on? Now watch this. I want you to write this down. If you're writing anything down, write this down. What we think is what we believe. And what we believe is what we live. What we think is what we believe. What we believe is what we live. If a guy, you know, a couple, they're married, and the guy thinks He believes that spirit of jealousy. Okay? I'm sitting there, and Scott comes up and said, he didn't even say I'm hurting. He was so hurting, he couldn't even say hurting. He said, I'm hurting, you know? I'm hurting. Now, that was like so awesome that he would say that, because he was like saying it to God, but it's like, you see, he needs the God in us. He needs, people need to be touched. He needs to be touched by the living Jesus in us. That's why the rest of us came up around him. That's why my wife couldn't sit there. She had to come up to touch him. Because she knows that he needed Jesus in her, because Jesus was stirring up in her, and she couldn't just sit there and say, Jesus, you got to sit in this seat. She said, no, Jesus, I'm going to let you. And so Jesus came up and touched him through her. Now, watch this. What we think is what we believe. What we believe is what we live. So, if let's say a man is jealous. Let's say I'm sitting here and I'm jealous. Okay, she's talking to Santiago. Maybe she likes Santiago. Or she's talking to Scott. Maybe she likes Scott. And then I'm going to listen to that lie. Do you understand? Now, in this church, this is in parentheses because I want to help you understand something. We want men to minister to men. And we want women to minister to women. So as a rule, if you as a woman come to me, and first of all, and then the next thought is, we need to measure in minister in teams. Okay? The reason we do these things that I'm saying, that I just said, these are in parentheses. The reason I'm saying these things are because we want to protect ourselves, okay? Because the devil, my girls or boys, when they were growing up and I told them they weren't going to date, and they said, but Dad, don't you trust us? And I said, I don't trust the world, I don't trust the devil, and I don't trust your flesh. I said, I love you, but I can't trust your flesh, because your flesh is no stronger than anybody else's flesh. And your flesh could be tempted and deceived. And next thing you know, you find yourself someplace you wish you wouldn't have gotten to. So we have to set up safeguards so we don't date people of the opposite sex by ourselves in the dark. Somebody ought to figure this one out. It's not hard. Okay? What we do is, if I want to date Sue, then I take my friend and his wife with me. I said, would you go with me and be our chaperones? And when we go out, then, and we do it in the light, and we do it in public. Not in the dark, in the back of a car, okay, by ourselves. Do you understand? You don't set yourself up. So in church, when God is flowing, my friend Scott said, I'm sorry, but I'm just, because he's here and he just said this and he blessed my heart. My friend Scott said, I'm hurting. Now, if we had a woman, let's say my wife came up and she goes to minister to him, and the life and the love and the healing is just surrounding him through her, and she's the only one, his flesh may think, wow, Sue, I like the love inside of her. She likes me. Because that's the way the devil wants us to think. It's a lie. Do you understand? And we don't realize it's God in Sue. We think it's Sue. And so then what happens is, that's how people in church end up running off with each other. My wife's first pastor, he ended up running off with the choir director's wife or whatever, because they spent time together and they didn't set up safeguards. They weren't careful. I had a pastor ask me one time, how do you protect yourself in your business? You go into homes to do this work, you know, doing people's tubs, and isn't it mostly with women? I said, yeah, it's always women. He said, how do you protect yourself? And I said, when I walk into a house, if she's under 95, I could be tempted, okay? Because she's female. Male, female. Understand? It's like, okay, attraction. If it's a man, I've never had a man do anything for me. They just don't attract me, okay? Isn't that cool? Now watch. So I go in the house, and this woman's under 95, and the first thing I do is I start talking about how much I love Jesus. And the second thing I do is I start talking about how much I love my wife. And I mean, I don't let a breath come between the two. And I had a lady one time say to me, I've had, regardless of how what you think this looks like to you, I've had women come on to me. And I've had women, I had a woman say to me, I said, I'm married. And she said, I don't care if you don't care. And I said, I care. I've had other women, I tell you, you got to be careful. So I've left houses. I can't be here. I can't be here because she wouldn't leave me alone. I can't be here. Nope. 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 Okay? That was all in parentheses. We got to be careful about ministering to people of the opposite sex. If you come to me and you're a woman, would you please go get another person and bring them with you to talk with me so it's not just you and me alone talking, even if we're out here, right here in the middle in front of God and everybody? Would you? Because I want it to be in teams. I want to protect you and I want to protect me. And mainly I want to protect the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want to bring reproach to His name. If I saw Sue, Santiago came up to her earlier to say something. She's sitting here talking. The devil wants to say, oh, she's like Santiago or something, whatever. Okay? Now, I can listen to that. That's a lie. I can listen to that, or I can believe the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm using an illustration because I'm trying to help you to understand something for your very life every single day. Do you understand what I'm saying, the illustration? Do I need to give you a different illustration? You got it? Now watch. What are you believing? Let me give you some questions. What do you believe? Do you believe God loves you? Do you? I mean, does He really love you? How about, does He love you only when you're good? Or does He love you when you know you're being bad? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Uh-huh. So, does He love you when you're bad? Oh. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, but it makes Him very sad. Do you get it? Jesus doesn't give up on you when you give up on yourself. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants you? Do you believe that God wants you? Do you believe that He believes in you? He believes in you, doesn't He? Do you believe that Father never gives up on you? How about when you give up on yourself? You think He's like wanting to give up too? You think He's tired of you when you're tired of yourself? When you're mad at yourself, is He mad at you? How about, do you believe that God is bigger than the boogeyman? Then what are you afraid of? Do doom and gloom. Read the newspaper. Get all this doom and gloom. Please pay for it so we can bring the doom and gloom into your home so you can live under doom and gloom. Okay?
Oh, everything's going to be terrible. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep, all that may be true. Maybe. I don't know if it is. It's in the newspaper. I don't know if I can believe it or not. Or online. Just because it's online don't mean I can believe it either. It may be true, but then there's Jesus. It may be true, but He promises He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He promises He'll take care of me. He promises He'll protect me. He promises He's my daddy. He's promised me I've got eternal life. Do you get it? What are you thinking on? That's why I can't read the newspaper. That's why I can't read all that junk. Because it starts getting inside of me and I start focusing on that stuff. Are you with me? What are you thinking on? Is God bigger than the boogeyman? Is God bigger than devils? Oh, on that earlier when I told you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, next to it put James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, please. James 4, 7 and 8. How do you get victory? Did you know that God is bigger? Do you believe that God is bigger than any need you have? God is bigger than any need you have. Some of us in this room, because God's going to bring all of us to this place, He's going to allow things to happen in our life where we think we cannot go on. There's no hope. Nothing's going to change. We might as well go back to whatever or just die. And He's allowing those things to happen to bring us to a place to where we quit trying to steer our life and get God to come bless what we want and to operate the way we want Him to do so that He can sit in the driver's seat and us be the little child sitting in the back seat. God is going to allow things to happen in our life to bring us to a place where we will depend on Him. We can't go on in our own strength. You can't be strong for God. God wants to be strong in you. But for God to be strong in you, you have to be weak. You have to admit you're weak. Do you know that? Tell yourself the truth every day. Think on the truth. That's why I like to write it down. When my brother said, God told him to start to write down his thoughts. If you had a notebook this week, are you listening? Don't miss this. If you had a notebook this week, I dare you to do this exercise. Take a blank notebook this week and write down your thoughts, like what he said. God, help me to write down my thoughts. When you go to write a lie inside of you, you know it's not the truth. And when you write the truth, or like what Glenn, too, what God had him do was, Glenn, what's a scripture that says the truth about the lie you've been thinking? You were just thinking this. Is that the truth, Glenn? No. What is the truth, Glenn? Well, this is the truth from the Bible. And he wrote it down. Now you've got a truth and you got a lie. You get to choose which one you're going to believe. Do you want to live the truth? I'm telling you, an exercise how to help you learn how to live the truth. It's something he helped me to do. I loved when I heard it, that God was doing that with him. God is bigger than any need you have. You have needs right now, and nobody on the planet can help you with that need. But you're going to put it, you're going to come to a place where you're going to put it in God's hands and say, God, would you open a door? Would you do it? But you see, we all have to go through a process where we have to do everything first. We have to try our way, everything we can think of. And when it finally doesn't work, then we turn to God. what God is trying to teach us how to do is turn to Him first and let our life be smoother. Would you like your life smoother? Or would you like, if you want it a little more hard, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you that God will make your life a little more hard. You want your life to be a little more hard? Please raise your hand, because I would love to pray for you that your life would be a little more hard to bring you to Jesus. Do you need your life to be a little more hard? Would you rather it be smoother? Jesus, the ones that are raising their hands, I want you to make their life smoother by helping them to learn to flow in your life's flow. The oil of the Holy Spirit, that you would bless each one of them as if they were Jesus Himself. Do you know that Almighty God has a plan for your life? What is it? Could you tell me? If I asked you, if I sat down with you, could you tell me where God is wanting to take you? What His plan is for your life? Could you tell me? Okay, eternal life. But I'm talking about while you're here on this planet. God has a plan for you. Because if not, He'd go ahead and take you home. He's got a plan for you. Do you know what His plan is for you? Peace, joy, prosperity. Okay. Do you know what His plan is for you specifically? Your life. Good. Trusting it. All these things are good. Good. Okay. Do you know... Do you believe that He's bigger than your problems? Do you believe that God's bigger than your bills? I didn't know that for a long time. I really didn't. We always, the month lasted longer than my money did, you know? And I was like, I didn't know what to do. And I went that way for a long time of God teaching me to depend on Him. See, I kept trying harder. I kept working more jobs. I was used to work about 3 jobs when I was raising the kids. All the kids were at home. Because I was trying harder to meet the need myself. And no matter how much I made, it didn't seem to be enough. And I had to come to a place where I realized God's bigger than our money. One time we were at a place and we lost our house. We lost everything. Steve and Cheryl were with us at that time. We lost our church because we had church in our house, and we lost everything. My wife's car got repossessed. The only thing we had left was each other and Janiah. And I didn't know what to do. And I said to Sue, you're going to need to get a job with me so we can work our way out of debt. And she said, Harvey, I will, because it's not just we lost everything. We were over $50,000 in debt that took me 7 years to pay off. Okay? Nobody would rent to us. So how do you rent? Because nobody would rent to us because we had, I don't know what, it's not bankruptcy. It's like judgments against us. And do you understand what I'm saying? We were in a bad place. Didn't have a job. And I said to Sue, you're going to have to get a job with me to help get our way out of debt. And she said, Harvey, I'll get a job if you want me to. She said, but is that what we believe? Is that what you really believe? And I said, no. I said, I believe that the woman ought to stay at home and raise the kids. That's what I believe. She said, I'll do whatever you tell me. She said, if you tell me to get a job, I will. She said, but can God take care of us without me getting a job? Did God change or did our circumstances change? I said, our circumstances change. She said, do you want me to get a job? And I said, yeah, but I don't want you to get a job. You know, on the one hand, I want you to get a job, but I don't want you to get a job because this is what I believe. And either we're going to sink or swim with what I make. And for a little while, she had to move in with my mother-in-law, I believe, if I remember correctly, her mom. And then we found, she kept knocking on doors, and finally somebody rented to us because they didn't pull a credit report, you know. And Well, we paid them, but if they had pulled the credit report, they wouldn't have rented to us. But the lady just made a decision based on emotions because it was God. What I'm saying is we do things God's way, not when circumstances agree. You do things God's way no matter what. Are you with me? Matter of fact, it probably took me more than 7 years because it took me, Steve and Cheryl had given us several thousand dollars trying to help us. And I told them, don't do it. But they did anyway because they cared about us. They loved us. And they wanted to help us. And so we paid them back too. Now what I'm saying is we had to go through some real hard stuff. I'm not just somebody who's always had this statewide business and drive nice cars. We've lived in people's living rooms. We've lived in people's basements where clothes and stuff are hanging all over the place and you have to work your way through it to get to the bed that you slept in their basement under a trailer. We've lived this way. Okay? What I'm saying is God is true all the time. Truth is truth. Lies are lies. We need to figure out which one we're believing, which one we're... And see, what we think is what we believe. And what we believe is what we live. So what are we thinking? What are we thinking? Do you believe that God has a way to deliver you? I'm talking about here. Not just get you to heaven. In the end, oh no, their whole life's a mess, but oh, I got them to heaven. It's not like that. Could he deliver you right now? How about from that sin that you think you'll never quit doing, that thing you beat yourself up on, that thing you know you're wrong about, but you keep on doing? Do you think God could deliver you from that? I'm telling you, he can. If you look in Matthew 1:21, I believe it's 21, it might be 23, but I think it's 21. It says, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin," not in their sin. He's bigger than your sin. He's more powerful. And if you want to write down some verses on that, Proverbs 6:23, about him delivering you. Proverbs 6:23. Where I want to read is Proverbs 15:24. Give me a second. I just want to read Proverbs 15:24. But 6:23, 10:17, 12:28, and 15:24. Proverbs 15:24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. It's these verses talk about the way of life. The way of life. Do you believe that God cares about you personally? Does he care about you personally? And do you know that he desires you? Do you believe that he desires you to be his close friend? In your whole life, if you have this many true friends, you are a blessed person. If you have that many true friends, you have a lot of people that say they're your friends. See, when things were going real bad for us, and Steve and Cheryl, you know, we were about to lose our house, and Steve said, "How much do you owe?" And I go, I don't even remember what it was. It was like, I don't even know, $6,000 or something. And he said, "Here's my credit card. Put it on my credit card." And I said, "No, Steve, this is God. God's trying to do something in our life." And he goes, "We care about you." See, anybody could say, "I love you." But what about when things are going bad? I don't like the term "shut up." I think that is a cuss word. I taught my kids that. I do not like it at all. I do not like it at all. I hope I don't ever hear it out of your mouth. But if somebody says, I love you, but they're not there for me, they don't pray for me, they don't care about me, they don't help me, then an old saying I heard was, put up or shut up. Either stand up and help me, or shut a you face. When I was in church, when I first got in church, and all these people wearing their nice clothes and their ties, and Sue told me, oh, they're all saved. And they come up to me on Sunday, smiling, hi, brother, and hug me, I love you. But they didn't have anything to do with me, except on Sunday when they did that. I didn't need that. They didn't. If I had problems, I went to talk to them. They didn't want to hear about it. They didn't pray with me. They didn't care about me. It's not words. And see, just because they're family, we think, oh, they're family. I'm sorry. They're human beings just like all the rest of them. I'm going to give you one verse that will help you if you ever get a hold of this verse. Psalm 62:5. My soul, hope thou only in God, for my expectation is in Him. People will let you down. Have you not heard me say that? I promise I will let you down. I don't mean to let you down. There's some people in here, you want me to go watch your kids' ball games. I'm sorry, I just don't go watch people's ball games. Okay? You want me to come over and hang out at your house. I can't do it. I pray, God, what do you want me to do? And I do what I feel like He tells me to do, and I have peace with Him. I'm walking with Him. But I can't do everything. But if somebody's hurting, I pray for them. If I pray for you, God tells me, God, if God puts on my heart to help give you something, do something for you, I do that. I can't do what you want me to do. I do what God tells me to do. Do you understand? You've got to put expectation in God, because God doesn't want you depending on Him. Because then you start thinking high of Him, and you start worshiping Him. God wants you to worship Him. He wants you to depend on Him. What are we believing? I'm going to give you a couple. Jesus. I'm going to give you a couple thoughts. Some questions, give you a couple verses, and we're going to be done today. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. What are the things we should be thinking on? I'm sorry. Watch this. What we think is what we believe, and what we believe is what we live. What are you thinking on? If you think, for example, if you think, I can't do it, you're right, you can't. But the opposite's true. If you think you can do something, I want you to go clean your room, Mom says to the daughter. I can't do it, it's a mess. Yeah.
You don't mind me.
Mom's like, you could do it. You do it one thing at a time. I've got a lot of stuff and in my life. And it's like, Lord, what do I do? And He says, write them down, and then day by day, chip away at it. And when you get something done, mark it off. Yesterday, I had some things to do, but He basically gave me a day of rest, which I was so excited about because I haven't had one in a couple of months. But I still had these things that I needed to do. And I wrote them down. And I sat in the morning. I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, why don't you do this one thing? So I did that. And He's like, why don't you go get a cup of coffee now? So I go get a cup of coffee. Because God's good to you. He's not a slave driver. And I said, what should I do next? He said, you want to do this thing? You know, like asking me, do you want to do this thing? Well, I know it needs to be done. He's like, you'll feel good if you do. I go, okay. So I do it. I was able to mark it off my list. At the end, by the end of the day, without even hardly any effort, I got all the things done on my list. There's about a half a dozen of them that I didn't want to do. Do you ever have stuff you don't want to do? Write them down and then ask God, God, what should I do next? I remember a lady called my wife one time and she was like, I gotta change. I don't know how to do this. And she goes, my house is a wreck. The kitchen, the dishes were all stacked up and roaches and stuff were in the, I couldn't even stand going there. And she called my wife and she says, I'm so depressed. I don't know how to get out of this. And she said, why don't you pray and ask God? He's going to tell me I have to clean the dishes. And she said, just pray and ask God. So she got off the phone, serious. And she prayed and said, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to get a cup of coffee. You do? He said, yeah, I want you to get a cup of coffee and turn on some worship music and just come and sit down with me in the kitchen or the living room or whatever it was. So she turns on worship music, gets a cup of coffee, and she just sits there. And after a while, he's like, would you like to do the dishes? She goes, okay. Because grace, God giving her the desire and the ability to do what's right, do his will, filled her, but she had to not focus on the dishes. She had to focus on Jesus. And then Jesus doesn't say, get up, move, na 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 na, you know, carry that burden, tote that log, more, lazy wimp, go. He doesn't do that. He is so kind. Why don't you come sit with me? You want a cup of coffee? Come get a cup of coffee. Come sit with me. Let's just listen to some worship music. And then he changed her want to. And he gave her the desire. And she said, God, how do I do it? He said, just start on this. She said an hour later or whatever it was, she said, my kitchen was clean. She said, and I enjoyed it. I was singing all the way through it. But 2 hours before, she had been depressed, laying in her bed. I'm sorry, this lady had been laying in her bed for weeks, depressed. That's why her house got like it did. God is bigger. What are we thinking on? Well, you think God's going to beat you up. He's not going to beat you up. He's going to walk you out of it. If you think you can't do something, you can't. You're right, you can't. But if you think you can, that's true. Okay? With men, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. God can do. You know, when I met Pastor Glenn, I said, wow. To get that guy to Jesus, that's going to be something. Because as soon as I opened my mouth about God, the dude called me to come do a job for him. I did the job. We walked outside, and God's like, talk to him about me. So I start talking to him about God. The dude, you could tell looking on his face, he wanted to shut my mouth. He did not like me talking about God. He was nervous. He was got these looks on his face. But I knew if God could make the world, I knew if he could rise from the dead, like I think he could take care of little Glenn, you know. So I just kept talking to him. And then we were done. We left. It wasn't very long. He called me to do another job for him. I showed up. Did the job for him. We walked outside, and God like poked a hole in my balloon and said, talk to him again. Got that look on his face. all nervous, didn't want to hear. But God could do it. Now the guy, tender-hearted, loving, Jesus flower. Because God can do anything. What we think is too hard, it ain't too hard for God. If you believe a lie, write this one down, please. If you believe a lie, that is your truth that you live with. If you believe a lie, that is your truth that you live with every day. If you're believing a lie. Is our life based on truth or lies? If you find yourself angry, depressed, giving up, worrying, fear, can't forgive people, those are lies you're believing. Do you want to keep going to bed with those lies? Do you like living with those? How's that feel at night? You able to sleep good? You tired of the lies? We have to believe a truth. We have to replace a truth with a lie. Okay? Replace a lie with a truth. Did I say it wrong? We have to replace the lie with the truth. So is our life based on truth or lies? Do we live every day on the foundation of the eternal truth of what God says in His Word? Do we live based on what God says? Or do we live by what we think is true based on our experiences, feelings, and what others have said or done to us? I hear it come out of your mouth sometimes. I'll say something like, God loves you. Or I'll say, but others, you know, you need to put all your expectation in God. And then I hear these little cynical comments come out of people like, yep, can't trust anybody. Yep, they'll let you down. Yep, yep, yep. Because that is the truth that you're believing. You're thinking, I just heard somebody say next to me, I was at a restaurant or something, somewhere where I was, and I heard somebody say something, and God wouldn't let me go say something to them, to the contrary. But I heard them say, everybody wants to hurt you. Everybody is against you. Or something like that. And I'm like, I wanted to say, I'm not. So your statement is a lie. You're believing a lie. Because I'm not against you. My wife's not against you. We don't want to hurt you. Nobody will help you. I help people every day. But that is a lie he's believing because of what's happened in his life. And instead of turning to God, Daddy, they hurt me. They hurt me, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And then you get better. Instead, they turn from God and they get bitter, get mad, angry. And come up with these thoughts. Nobody loves you. Nobody. Yeah, you got to look out for number one. Nobody else is going to help you. What do we believe? Because that's what we live. What do we believe? Because that's what we live. I'm going to give you 5 verses, I think, and then we're done. 6 verses, and then we're done. Are you ready? Please write them down. Go home this week. Look them up. Meditate on them. I've already given them to you, but I'm going to give them to you right now again. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Do you want the way of life? Do you want God's way? Do you want truth? Proverbs 6:23, Proverbs 10:17, Proverbs 12:28, Proverbs 15:24. All 4 of those talk about the way of life. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God, what am I thinking on? What am I believing? What is my foundation that I think is true? All men are bad. There's women in this room that think, maybe. All men are bad. Can't trust them. They're all after one thing. All bad. Proverbs 23:7. There's men. Nope. Can't get married. Nope. Can't have a good marriage. Nope. Because got to have a woman involved. Don't have anything to do with women. Nope. Don't know what to do with them. Nope. They're all bad. I hear it all the time where, you know, in restaurants and stuff, I hear it coming out of their mouth. It sounds like venom of a snake. That's what it feels like. It sounds like somebody clawing at me. I feel sorry for them because they think that's the truth because they've been hurt and haven't learned how to turn to Jesus. Can I tell you something that's a blessing to me? You? I keep watching God and listening to God working in you, working through you, caring about other people, ministering to other people. I hear words of hope, encouragement, truth coming out of you. And when I do, I get so excited because you are releasing the life of God. And you don't even realize it. And you're doing it. And it is so awesome. I love hearing God in you. Every Sunday I come here, God brings that to my attention. I find myself smiling every time I come here because of you. That little guy has never even been here. And that little guy during worship was over there doing flags, doing the tambourines, just jumping around. I saw Carson over there doing this playing thing or whatever he was doing. I don't even know what he was doing. And he came and got his Hyundai sug from me. And it's supposed to be a Sunday hug, but for some reason when he said it, can I have my Hyundai sug from you? You know? Because he was so excited, he came running to me. Can I have my Hyundai sug? I'm like, you can have a Hyundai sug, every Hyundai, you know? That's me. And the last verse I want you to meditate on. Do you want your life to change? Because this is the last verse. Do you want your life to change? Seriously? Then will you look up this verse and meditate on it this week? Yes or no? Okay. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. Whatsoever things are just, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Let me give you one practical thing, one practical exercise. When you have thoughts, when you find yourself thinking on something you know you shouldn't be thinking on, you tell God, God, I don't want that. And just like that little song my daughter made up, I don't want any devil living in me. I don't want anything to do with you, devil. I don't want lies. I don't want depression. I don't want darkness. I don't want selfishness. Right? I don't want anything to do with you, devil. I only want Jesus living in me. Jesus, will you please do whatever it takes to get that thought out of me? And help me to think on truth. Is that hard? Or could a child do that? Could little Paula do that? Could little Maria do that? Could little Glenn too do that? Do you think little Remy could do that? How about little Santi? Could he do that? You see what I'm saying? It's not hard. Jesus does the hard part. We just have to come and be honest with Him. This is what I'm really thinking and feeling, but I don't want this. And one of these days He's going to show you it's not even you that's thinking it. It's the devil whispering it to you, and you just happen to be deceived because He's appealing to your flesh. He's deceiving you. He's tricking you. And one day you're going to learn it's not even you. And you're going to learn, no, you're not going to live in me. Only going to let Jesus live in me. And you're going to start living in light and peace and joy and fullness of Jesus. And you're going to be like everywhere you go, you're going to spill Jesus out. You're just going to rub on people through you. Thank you, Lord, for surrounding us with nuts. Thank you that you are the way of truth. Thank you that you could never, you know, we can't ever find fault in you. Everything about you is like perfect. It's like you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And we want you. We embrace you. We don't want anything to do with the devil. Thank you so much. Today, may you help us to hear these thoughts that were said today. May you bring back the thoughts that were from you into us, that we can meditate on them all week so that we could become more like you. We could hang out with you. We could be close friends with you, Jesus. I'm asking you to protect and provide and bless everyone in this room. And Lord, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. I thank you for what you're doing, but I'm so looking forward to what you're going to do in each life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.